All right, another edition of the Film Drums Broadcast, live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. We got the whole crew, everyone that was worried about Brett being gone. He's locked in the internet, but this is your ear rapist, Ben. Super blogger Vince in the house.
That's me.
Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan's in the house.
Hello.
And Brett is locked in the internet. Brett, how is the internet?
You can only free me with page views. Please click on all of the links.
Luckily,
all of the links, Ben.
Luckily that we have Vince, and Vince's new specialty, little known fact, he went to Columbia to get a minor in page views.
That's right. Special program.
It's focused around slideshows, right?
I actually head up the slideshow department. It's my new thing.
So how do I see what comes next in the list of 10 things?
Well, we added this new functionality where you can actually just push the right arrow. I mean, it's super easy.
Huh. Will I get new ads?
Yeah, you will. You'll get, but they'll be targeted directly to you based on your interests. So if you just,
I love that.
You can log in and you tell us what all your interests are, and we'll target those ads just for you.
Slideshow optimization.
Brett's talking. I see his lips moving, but nothing's coming out.
Did he break already?
Did you break?
Oh.
He broke.
No.
That was fast.
That was quick. Well, anyway, Brett
lost in the internet.
He got lost. He's like he's like the dude from Superman. You know who I'm talking about. The guy that's in the
Christopher Reeve.
No, the bad guy who's in a glass case of emotion.
Oh, Zod.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the two dimensional square.
Zod.
So flying through space.
That'd be a shitty life, just flying through space.
Yeah, not having a third dimension.
You're stuck in 2D.
Yeah, like because I always go to the aquarium and I think how awesome it'd be where you have people above you and below you. There's like a whole nother dimension. But then just imagine a step less than we have now.
Two dimensions.
It's gotta suck, you know. So much like incrementally worse.
A full, that's a significant amount worse.
How am I supposed to watch Clash of the Titans?
Are we recording?
All right, we found Brett.
There he is.
He was hurtling through space.
I didn't go away. I'm just
still here because we couldn't hear you.
I'm still here.
We do have Matthew Ufford joining us. He's much bigger of a podcaster now than we could ever dream of being.
He's a vlogger, bro. That's just like a whole step up.
But he's got a podcast.
Is that how you say it in the industry?
You could say vlogger.
You say vlogger like you pronounce it.
He cuts down V's.
Not a V will be left standing when I'm through.
You gotta cut them in half so you can stack them easier. Otherwise, it takes them way more space.
Way more efficient.
Stack them in pyramids.
You chop them right down on the bottom.
It's like a house of cards, man, out of V's.
Brett, how's New York? What do you do there? Why aren't you at Ufford's house podcasting right now?
He's in Brooklyn. That's for poor people.
Where did you move?
There's only one New York, Vince. And it's Manhattan.
Which part of Manhattan are you in?
Apparently the drunk part, because they've got these jugs that you can just keep refilling with 9% alcohol beer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to keep refilling them forever.
That's a good idea.
I know, right? You get 10% off if you bring it back.
I think I've been to that place. What's that place called?
Filling Station.
Froggies?
Filling Station.
Froggies.
How did you get that? Oh, yeah, Froggies.
I just wanted to make something up.
That's a gas station, man. You're drinking gasoline.
Brett, how was the cross-country drive?
Oh, yeah.
And your cat did most of the driving, correct?
Yeah, so the cat knows how to drive.
Toots says no! No!
Cricket the cat.
Cat's actually very smart when it comes to driving and not much else. Still easily fooled by hiding behind a door, but excellent on the highway. Drive wasn't bad. Packing was a nightmare. I don't know if you ever tried to like vacate apartment in 3 days after you weren't sure if you were getting a place. So we went to New York a week before we moved out here to see if we got a place. We found out, and then we had 3 days to get all of our shit out of our old apartment, which I've been living in for 8 years. And you don't think that you have a lot of shit in 8 years. And I especially feel like I'm a pretty minimalist dude as far as possessions. I'm not a minimalist dude. Like, this shit I own just kept, like, fucking and multiplying. I had so much. We had the dump guys come.
You put them in a box together. That's all they know how to do.
I know. They get lonely. I've got Did your cables that don't even exist anymore? I can plug in to a caveman's spine with the cables I have. Right, like I've got like pterodactyl to steam engine adapters, like shit that doesn't even exist anymore. So, yeah, it's a nightmare, and I had to paint too. It was unpleasant getting out of there, but as soon as we were on the road, it was okay. We basically followed that storm that ate Texas's lunch all the way to the East Coast. Like
that's gonna be hard because everything's bigger in Texas, I hear.
Was it a lot of food? Here's the thing about Texas. I'm both disgusted by and a little bit enamored with their absolute refusal to pronounce anything in Spanish. So, like, I would say Amarillo because that's a color.
Yeah.
It's not Amarillo. And
oh, come on. Everybody knows that.
Amarillo.
Yeah. Well, same with Los Angeles. I'm sure no one says, my name is Feliz, or I'm so Feliz today.
You know, it's kind of weird.
It's Feliz, but the city is Feliz for some reason.
Right, Los Feliz.
Wait, there's a Feliz?
Mm-hmm.
Los Feliz.
Except it's Feliz.
Yeah. You know what's weird is Vallejo in Northern California, because you're pronouncing the L's, which is a very English thing, but then you're honoring the silent J.
Good point.
It's a strange
hybrid.
I never
thought about that.
Yeah.
Because the proper Spanish pronunciation, of course, would be Vallejo.
Mm.
But you're just saying Vallejo.
Is that a Spanish word, though?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Because viejo means old, but that's different.
Joe's Valley.
Valley of Joe's.
Valle. Yo. Viejo.
I am Joe. This is my valley. Valley Joe.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're not going to tell us what part of Manhattan you live in. All right.
Oh, no. I'm sort of in the middle of shit. I'm by Union Square.
Oh.
Not in the super touristy part.
Oh.
And like not in the ball that drops down, but right like next to it.
Yeah, no, I don't live in the ball.
Yeah, that would be.
That's a different square. That's a totally different square.
Oh, that's the square of time.
Yeah.
Which one's Union? Which is the Union Square?
It's
the circular one.
That
it's
one.
It's a circle.
Yeah, that one has the horses.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, so I'm by there.
Yeah, I moved. I was only in my place for a year. Turns out I didn't even really unpack the last time I moved. So I definitely unpacked like at least 4 boxes that never got unpacked in the first place when I moved there.
I say it all the time. Moving is it's one of the scourges of Earth. We have all these possessions that we've accumulated, and we need to transport them. Serious problem.
Yeah.
Someone should look into fixing this problem.
So, it's hey, can I give actual advice for moving?
Sure, I've already moved, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, you moved maybe a mile and a half.
Yeah.
throw away all your stuff because it's liberating.
Mm-hmm.
Like pack your shit into I don't know 4 suitcases, and then use Amtrak. Amtrak does shipping, and
yeah.
It's fucking a tenth of the cost of either a moving crew or shipping it ground.
Did you do that?
Yeah, we got rid of all of our furniture. We stored the couch because the couch is, you know, worth keeping.
Wait, did you do that all last minute after my girlfriend told you to do that?
Absolute terror. Yeah. Your girlfriend and my buddy from work recommended Amtrak, and we did it, and it's fucking spectacular.
Yeah, my girlfriend moved the other way from New York to San Francisco, and it cost her, I don't know, less than $500, I think.
Oh, we paid like $325 for probably 14 full-size boxes.
How do you get all your crap to Amtrak?
We have a car, which
well,
is
that's a lot of boxes.
Car. Yeah, it's 2 trips.
Yeah, that's the worst thing is the number of trips. That's the bane. Yeah, also, $300. I spent more than that.
You pick from Penn Station, which is actually pretty good. They don't let you ship from there, so if you're coming from New York, you're just fucked.
I spent more than $300 at fucking Bed Bath and Beyond the other day, and I didn't even get anything.
Vince, you got some really nice loofahs.
I didn't even get anything.
Come on, you got the top of the
line. That duvet cover was to die for.
You cannot get out of there with under less than $400. It's insane.
It's a shakedown.
Here's the thing: all those packets of mustard that you kept in your fridge, they add up when you have to buy them again.
I know.
How many packets of mustard do you have to buy? Dude, like 100 packs of mustard.
You know how many different hot sauces I have? I need.
Vince does love his kitchen appliances.
Oh, is that part of the separation agreement? She got the hot sauces?
No, well.
Never.
Split the hot sauces right down the middle. We drew a line on the lid, and I said, "That's your half, and this is my half."
Oh wow, that's very Solomon-esque. I figured more like a draft.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The first overall pick. You're like sriracha.
Like a
draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could have done that. That's a good idea. We didn't do it that way though. No. We just split it. You know, so neither of us was happy.
Sounds like more spiteful that way.
Every good compromise.
And you should have just drank half of them by spite. And just like drawn the line right between the half you drank and the rest
of
it.
He's just sweating. What's next?
Threads of
what's next?
Spittle coming
red
out
hot?
Of his mouth.
Yeah, let's put the red hot. Let's put the fucking red hot.
I want the angel's tears. Give me
ghost
the
peppers.
Angel's tears.
Vince loves his kitchen utensils.
Oh yeah, I just got my hanging pot rack today.
Oh, that must have excited you.
Other things. All right, so I'm obsessed with cooking things. I have a deep fryer. I have a pressure cooker. I have a food processor. Oh, but I think I left my blender here, by the way.
All right, you want it?
Yeah, hell yeah, I do.
I'll say this for Vince. He's not a gimmick food buyer. As far as machines go, you don't have like a sausage re-slicer.
Right.
Well, you tend to have single use. You have way more than you have space for at any given point, which makes it really, really bad. But you tend to have the right stuff just in the wrong house.
I use those damn things, though. Only thing I don't use, I do have a crepe maker that I think I've used like twice. But that wasn't my buy.
And everything else, I mean, at least once a year, if not right around that amount.
Oh, I use the pressure cooker at least two times a month. I use the food processor like 10 times a week. So, you know.
Deep fryer?
Food processor.
Deep fryer I use almost never.
I paid about $100 for one of those Ninja blenders. Uh-huh. And I got to say, like, you definitely get your money's worth. It's a really good blender.
Anything that grinds up food, you're going to use a lot.
Yeah.
Food processors are baller as shit.
That's the best. Yeah, food processor is the best thing you can buy. You can make dough in a food processor. You can make salsa, hummus. You can make everything.
A good skillet and a good knife, number one.
Yep.
Oh, I'm also obsessed with hanging stuff. So I got my hanging pot rack. I got my knife magnet, which I love because then I don't have to put my knife.
Yeah.
What about your hanging spice rack?
I got spice rack. I have two spice racks. I got my knife magnet. I got my hanging pot rack, and I have one with little hooks for like spatulas and the spoons that you use a lot.
Hey, so hey. I haven't seen you since you did your comedy showcase. To where did you move?
Oh, I have the.
Wait! Don't want to talk about knives.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So, despite the fact that magnets have been around since the dawning of the Earth, right?
Uh-huh.
Don't they make you
literally
feel like you're a ninja cyborg when you pull them off that magnet rack?
Oh, hell yeah.
Probably the best ninja cyborg that's ever been invented.
The other really easy way to feel good about yourself is, like, I didn't like the way that my fridge pulled open, so I changed the door side.
You can't do that.
Without directions, and I felt so good about myself afterwards.
Did they not call you and say, "Hey, we heard that you changed the way that your fridge opens"?
Yeah, it's like the car when you don't put the seatbelt on, it just starts dinging, and you're like, "What?
I put too much food in the disposal once, and it clogged the drain. And without really any direction, I just figured out how to unclog it, and I felt really fucking manly.
Yeah, even like the smallest, stupidest thing, if you can just solve something with a screwdriver, you're like, "Oh man,
I see why
people like this so much."
Yeah.
Plumbing is a great way to improve your self-esteem. I had a drip that wouldn't go away with the gasket replacement. So I was just like, fuck it, man. I'm just going to take the whole fucking thing apart and put new hardware on there. Stupid easy. Not complicated in the least. And probably you'd get laughed out of the hardware store if you felt proud about it in front of someone. But my God, right. I was just strutting around like I had invented sandpaper.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, when you clean that clog out of the bathroom sink, it feels good, except when you pull it out and it's like a forearm's width of just hair.
Ugh. It looks like hair covered in just a loogie.
Yeah, it's like an owl pellet mixed with vomit.
It is that exactly.
so where did you move to, Vince?
I moved to, I don't want to tell that on air. Over that way.
So many stalkers.
So you need
marina.
Square?
The marina?
Yeah.
So you don't know how many stalkers he gets, bro. Does the amount of stalkers in
he
the
a lot of stalkers.
I didn't want to because
you
didn't
want to get stalkers. You don't have a choice.
No, I didn't want to because like there's not as many good restaurants over there. It just happened to be a really good deal because I took Nate's old apartment.
Oh, that place.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
it was over there.
So I paid. No, it's not.
You pointed in the exact opposite direction.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. All right. I thought I was sitting on the other side of the room.
Again, great radio.
Yeah.
Brett, is it good for you? Is it good for you over there? Can we point?
Yeah. So anyway,
I sacrifice any sort of listener enjoyment for just proving Vince wrong. And hopefully that comes across.
That's really
what's important.
Should we get Ufford on or should we make him wait?
No, let's get him on.
All right. This is going to be interesting.
Hey, Brett, do I get to stay around?
Brett, yeah. Can you go grab him?
Yeah. He lives in my neighborhood.
Go grab him.
No, he doesn't. He lives in Brooklyn.
That's for poor people.
You already said that.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, we're going, we're breaking out the video chat.
Oh, right? It's two-headed Skype going on right now. So,
Ufford, you're just a giant spinning circle to me.
I will click on the little camera button and we'll get this get group video.
Hey, get your pants ready because it's boner time. I'm in my bed.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah, it's IKEA.
All right, we're back on with world famous vlogger Matt Ufford.
Matt, what's new in the vlogging world?
Tell us about the V's.
Have you cut down any good V's lately?
I've been making a lot of V's. It's been pretty great. making sports V's every day, getting the eyeballs that we so
the EBs
so very much crave.
If you get EBs on your V, that is straight P to the B. You know what I'm saying?
Most D.
It sucks because I see you updating content pretty frequently, but in my office it's a very open seating arrangement, so I can't just like chill in a closed office and watch videos. Like everyone would know if I'm dicking around, so I don't always get to watch the videos. But I definitely make time for like This Week in GIFs and Dan on Fire.
Dan on Fire is some of the best content on the interwebs. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any, we didn't get to talk to you since the Oscars or anything. Did you see Oscar movies? Did you have thoughts?
I think the only movies I didn't see, I didn't want to see Lincoln. So I did not see that. The only movie that I wanted to see that I did not get a chance to see was Vince's favorite, Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Oh, yeah. So great.
I think my favorite movie of the year was, I think it might have been Django Unchained, followed by Looper, followed by Zero Dark Thirty, and like Argo was like fourth or fifth there.
Yeah, all in my top 10, 5, 15.
Top 45.
Well, I agree on the number one, and Looper was in there at like two or three or four or something like that. Mm. Good times.
Mm. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun at the movie theater. I don't need to think too much. I'm not saying I want Transformers, but like, there's nothing wrong with like a fun, cool sci-fi movie.
Yeah, I saw. Whatever that one is, the Oz one. I saw the Oz, Oz the Great and the Powerful.
Yeah, how was it?
It's not as bad as everybody says. It's
what a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
That would be awesome in the commercial. How bad could it be?
I don't know. Look, I like Mila Kunis all right, but it's weird that everybody thinks she's like the hottest girl that they've ever seen.
It's pretty hot.
She got a lot less attractive when she started dating Ashton Kutcher.
Well, but she was dating fucking Macaulay Culkin before that.
Jesus, what? Man. She has just enough, like bad enough taste in men that I think it gives average dudes like us a feeling that, like, we really would stand a chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think she's kind of average. I don't know.
I liked her a lot in Black Swan.
Yeah, I liked her. Her personality seems cool.
Yeah.
She'd be, like, cool to, like,
I don't know.
Hang out with. She seems, like, totally
look,
cool.
Look, she's no Jennifer Lawrence. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like...
No, nobody is.
I feel like Black Swan... We actually... Back when we used to watch movies more regularly for this film podcast, we did a top 10, and I had Black Swan at, I don't know, I think 5 or 6. And I feel like that would probably be, I don't know, number two this year. Like, Black Swan was a really fucking good movie.
Yes. Yeah. That was a freaky movie.
I liked it a lot. Stuff decreases in value the more you watch it, though.
Really?
Like if you inspect it a little too closely, it stops having.
Should I not watch it again? I only saw it once, and I fucking loved it.
I think that one decreases in value because Black Swan is like one thing. It's like, this is a movie about her becoming the Black Swan. It's Black Swan. That's it. Whereas I don't think There Will Be Blood necessarily decreases in.
That's not.
He did fucking Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
Which one? All right, never mind. I'm retarded.
I've
been moving all week, all right, bro?
You know, Requiem for a Dream gets worse the more you watch it until it circles back around to being amazing again.
I hate that movie.
Whereas I think I could watch There Will Be Blood every single day for the rest of my
probably
life.
Well, no, that's not fair.
It's probably a little too intense, but still.
It's three hours long.
I do not like There Will Be Blood.
What?
Whoa. I thought it was too long. I hated the score.
I loved the score. I thought it was great. That opening scene where it pans down into like that desert
and
scene, it's like
silver mine.
That music. I was like, yes.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's an outstanding movie. I'm just saying I didn't particularly enjoy it. It wasn't a fun movie going experience for me. I thought that it could have been a half hour shorter. And Daniel Day-Lewis was of course great. He always is, but. It was all about, what was the other awesome movie that year with the
No Country?
No Country for Old Men blew that out of the water for me.
Neck and neck. I disagree.
Yeah, I like There Will Be Blood a little better just because I think that I wish the ending scene was still flip flopped in No Country.
I like The Fountain a lot from Aronofsky.
I love The Wrestler, but I haven't seen it. I've only seen it like once or twice.
True, I've only seen.
I love that movie though.
I feel like it would lose something if I saw it again.
I like that. I like The Rest. That's what I was thinking. I like that one way better than Black Swan.
Yeah, agreed.
That's fair.
But he's subtlety isn't really his game, and I think that's what costs you when you watch it again. You're like, oh, this is all very one note.
No, did you ever see Pi? I mean, the whole thing was. I mean, it was kind of fun in like, this guy's doing a lot with not that much, but like the whole ending sequence is just.
For the longest time, I couldn't remember if people were recommending Pi or Primer, and Primer is such a better movie than Pi is.
Which one's that?
Primer is funny because you need to like take notes.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
it still doesn't quite make sense either.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't keep track because not to spoil, I won't spoil anything, but it's basically a time travel movie that gets really into like, okay, which timeline are we on? And if this person, so just it really wreaks havoc with all of the sort of implications of time travel. Then, well, if you're here from the future, then, you know, and so it gets really complicated.
If Looper left you dissatisfied with how stringent it was playing by its own rules, then shut the fuck up and watch Primer and don't complain about how you don't get what happened because that is exactly what you're asking for.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Primer a lot, but it...
I never saw that.
Oh, really?
He's got a new one coming out this year.
He's an engineer. Do you know that?
I did know that, yes.
He's not a director.
He drives trains. Choo-choo!
Your dad would want to talk to that guy. You should
Engineer Bruce.
Dad, look who I got for you to talk to.
I got my dad.
Can't talk now, going back in time.
Yeah, my dad's birthday was a couple weeks ago, and I got him an engineer hat that he can wear when he plays with his trains in the garage.
Have you guys not gotten him one yet? This is the first one he has?
I got it several months ago, but I was like, this is a birthday present.
Yeah, but, I mean, this has been going on for years, this affinity of trains.
No, it hasn't been going on that long.
Oh, it's a new thing.
Yeah, this is a new thing. Because what happened was my grandfather died last year, and he went back to Virginia to go back to the house. And when he was cleaning out the house, he found his old train sets from when he was a little kid. So since then, he's set up shop in the garage. Of course, a couple inches less wide than the wheel well of the van. Marked off so he can park. And then when he wants to play with his trains, he backs the van out into the driveway.
And so now,
he's got an engineer hat to wear.
There's a model train store less than a block from my house or apartment. And I think it's open like 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a booming business, but they have a lot of trains in there.
That's a pretty sick job, though.
Selling model trains?
Yeah.
Is it Chan's?
Wednesday.
No, Chan's is like the the Triad Chinese restaurant. It's literally across the street.
Yeah, it's got a name. I was like, oh, Dad, you know, I've seen this model train shop. My dad's like, oh, yeah, that place has been there for years. Like, he totally knew about it.
Of course. Okay. Your dad's a pro now.
Yeah.
He's a local legend. He's the one that set the
He doesn't do retail, though. He's savvy. He goes on eBay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So he gets the best deals.
You also can't get brand new stuff. You got to get vintage.
Right.
I buy everything off of Amazon, and I feel like when I go in and I buy something in the store, I always get burned now. I went into Bed Bath & Beyond.
Paying retail? You can't buy loofahs at retail, man.
Could have saved 37 cents on those paper towels.
I will take 100 packets of mustard.
No, I got the fancy types of mustard. I got the wasabi mustard, the passion fruit mustard.
Passion fruit mustard. What the hell are you talking about?
It's a stupid thing to
make. You ever had that? It's so good.
What?
That sounds gross.
Is that real?
It's good.
Just because they're both yellow? Is that what happened there?
No, it's sweet. It's from Hawaii. You put it on sandwiches.
Stupid.
Why is that so weird? You eat honey mustard?
Well, yeah. But that's made in America, not Hawaii.
Sorry.
Those bees are red, white, and blue bees. Not. I would eat passion fruit mustard. That sounds really good. I would totally go for that.
Is that a real thing, Vince? Or did you just make that up?
No, it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, Ufford.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that people take shots of whiskey and then pickle juice in this horrible place?
Oh, yeah. Picklebacks.
Yeah, that's a thing. And you're supposed to be disgusted by it, and I kind of want to keep doing it forever.
Have you? No, I think it's not this. You're not supposed to be disgusted. I think that you're supposed to be disgusted by the notion of it, and then you try it, and then you're like, wow, that really works.
Yeah, like
so,
butt
so
sex.
I'm going to say that I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm feeling like I'm in a vulnerable place with the shift in lifestyle.
Like butt sex.
I would just drink pickle juice just out of a jar.
Wow, that's
I've
done it. Drink.
I've done it's it in the throes of just a brain splitting hangover. I've drank pickle juice out of the jar because I've heard
you
that
know
works.
It's all salt, right?
Yeah,
Brett, we've chased with pickle juice before on accident.
Yes.
you remember that? We've definitely run out of chasers before and used pickle juice, not even knowing that was a thing.
Oh yeah,
I definitely use pickle juice in my Bloody Mary.
Yeah, but Bloody Marys are kind of a nightmare to begin with.
I like how Bloody Marys just like every acquired taste on earth that's just put into one drink. They're like, oh,
sometimes
like what
sometimes
would
you stir them with a sausage?
Like what would an 8-year-old hate? Okay, we got some brisket, some horseradish, cucumber, some pepper. You couldn't you?
Yeah,
there's bacon ones that are somewhat popular. I feel
of course.
Like.
I've
do
had,
like
a
Bloody
Mary
radish.
With beef bouillon in it before.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yuck.
That's fine.
I got a so I was in Austin, and it was, you know, hot Austin, summer Austin.
I'm going there this weekend.
What?
Are you going to South By, bro?
I'm going to South By, you guys.
Wait, that can't be the cool. It's got to be like.
Are you going to be at the marketing synergizzy tent?
Yeah, Betty's at the marketing synergizzy tent.
I'll be at the Guerrilla Market Marketron.
Promise me and all our listeners.
Prosopsium?
You're going to go to the blogging disruption.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Hashtag strat.
Hashtag man beef. are you there?
What are you going to do out there?
I was waiting for Brett to talk.
Oh, sorry. So it's not a very good story. I was at the Stubbs.
Yep.
The gospel brunch, which is awesome. And I had brisket and omelets, and I was sweating pretty hard because brisket and omelets. And then I decided to get a Bloody Mary and almost threw up in Austin because just of the pure amount of nose sweat coming out of my nose. You know, like when you get a fever and you sweat out your nose?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just the hostility in my insides and outside. There's just so much pressure built up from the Bloody Mary and the brisket and the heat and the there's like – fucking pussy willow flakes floating around.
Those get you every time, no matter what state you're in.
They do that in a Texas
can,
Bloody
Mary. A man can explode in Austin.
In a Texas Bloody Mary, they just stick a whole stock of a pussy willow
it's just a
right,
horse.
Right in there.
It's just half a horse stuck in a cup.
Yeah. I mean.
What are you doing at South By?
I don't know yet. I haven't had a chance to plan yet.
don't do any research or anything. It's not like you have to speak.
That's what I'm planning to do tonight.
Look into what South By is.
Yeah, exactly.
Question.
Hey, I'm just going to Google, hey, Google, what's up with South By?
What is South By?
Am I important?
What's the deal with this thing?
So
it's what happens when you Google, am I important?
Wait, hold on. Let's find out.
I have a special program for that.
Hold on. Siri, what is South By Southwest?
We're really doing this?
Siri, what is South By Southwest?
Brennan's committed. He's very committed.
I just want this podcast to be 90 minutes of asking Siri questions.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Matt. SW Graf Bergman. Who the fuck's Graf Bergman?
That's making sure you're not going to that.
This isn't working.
Really Jewy.
He's going to end up at Graf Bergman's house.
South that by guy South knows how to throw a South by Southwest party, let me tell you.
We're all going to do our taxes.
Did you go to the Graf Bergman party this year?
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
You better get your shit itemized before you get in there.
You better have all your fucking receipts, man. And make photocopies, too. Leave a copy at home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you really don't know what you're doing?
Oh, well, I'm seeing movies, interviewing people. I got a couple things lined up. I just haven't put it all together because I've been moving.
Digital or film?
Film, bro.
Sure. All right.
We got a new thing called Filgital. Just combine.
Yeah, Vince, talk to us about Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. I went there. It was all right. Takes a really long time to drive places.
Yep.
You told jokes?
I told jokes. They called me out on the stage while I was outside, which has never happened before.
Whoops.
And I picked probably the biggest show that I've done to do that at. But, I made them wait, and I think they liked me more because of it. One of those things. I didn't do it on purpose.
Played hard to get with the audience. Nice.
Damn right. I nagged them. And they were showing Iowa.
I like your shoes on a clown.
It went well. I was going to play the clip, but it seems a little crowded to play a 10-minute stand-up clip in the middle of us talking.
What if you made it like 25 minutes?
Oh, crowded and masturbatory.
Yeah, exactly.
Play a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have.
You want to play a little bit?
Come on,
a little bit. Pick your best joke. Give us one or two jokes.
I can't play the best joke because I just have a clip that's just. It's just going to start wherever it's going to start.
Give us a good couple minutes of Vince.
Why don't you just reenact it?
Heaven forbid you edit your biggest show ever to play.
I will do it. I just wasn't going to do it tonight. You just sprung it on me.
I don't know if you're aware, but he's been moving.
That must be hard. That must be difficult
to move.
We'll
play it next week.
Less than half a mile.
What? It's going to be like a...
In the middle of winter in San Francisco, where it's exactly the same temperature as summer.
I don't even know what Brett's talking about. Do you?
He's talking about you not playing comedy clips.
Hmm.
So...
When we were promised comedy clips.
Matt, what should Brett know about living in the big bad city of Manhattan?
Oh, gosh. You're going to do Manhattan, not an outer borough, huh?
Oh, he's there.
I was giving you shit for living in Brooklyn, but only because I feel so horribly ripped off for the amount of space I get for my money. That's fair. I would recommend somewhere below 14th Street, just because the downtown.
I'm on 13th Street.
There you go. You're that qualifies.
Brett, you're already doing really well.
I know. Are you East Village or West Village?
I'm West Village-ish.
Well, that's pretty awesome, and man, that drawing squirrels has really paid off for you if you're living in the West Village.
Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm going to be completely broke by the time I leave.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's kind of everybody else in the city, too. No,
this
you're
is an elaborate experiment in me becoming poor again.
Just
slowly,
you're in a great spot,
like, slowly spending it all on rent and food.
Poor Brett was kind of fun. He was like, I scrounged enough change to buy a Snickers, and then I had two eggs.
Yeah, Brett being poor. Brett was just like owning. I've never seen someone own poverty the way Brett did.
Brett owned the shit out of some poverty. Except so, poverty kind of owned
Justin,
him. But.
Justin saw me in the street one time in the marina, like at the Marina Green, as I was walking to some other thing that I was going to. Like I was going to meet him later, and he saw me before I was at the thing that I was supposed to show up to. And he stops me in the street and goes, dude,
what the fuck, man? When was the last time you shaved or cut your hair? You look like a fucking Frankenstein right now.
Yeah, but Brett was like when I'm, you know, I've been poor at various times, but I'm never really, I'm not good at planning, so I'm not good at poverty. Whereas Brett was like, dude, if I make brown rice and one hard-boiled egg, I can live off that for 6 days.
No, it's a, so here's the tip for poor people. Buy three things. You buy rice, you buy broccoli, and you buy eggs. And you cover all your vitamins, fiber, and general carbs and protein for probably a month at the cheapest rate you can get.
Dude, where were you when I was like 26? Because my first like 8 months in New York City, I was like unemployed and like basically just like burned through all my savings.
And Matthew, I'll tell you where I was. I was having the worst farts of my life.
I had some lean times when I lived in. I had enough money to pay for rent in Manhattan, but like not enough to eat. And I had like, it was like lunch was like a $2 slice of pizza, and dinner was also a $2 slice of pizza.
And if you get hungry, you just grit your teeth and punch stuff.
Yeah, basically.
I'm eating the pieces of my own teeth for dinner.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. I'm not in any way going to afford this adventure.
Well, you're living in a great part. You're going to be living in a great part of town. There's going to be great bars and great restaurants and pretty girls all around you, if that's what you're into, or pretty guys if you like that too.
So, I'm more into trees. I like a handsome tree.
Squirrels.
There are some nice tree-lined streets in the West Village.
There's some girthy trees down there.
Streets. I'm going to fuck those streets.
I'm going to fuck those trees so hard.
Girthy.
Oh, we got some nice zoysias. You'll love them.
All right. So in honor of Oz, the Great and Powerful, I was going to get to that. It wasn't that bad. Basically, here's how I describe it. If you're comparing it to movies that it's similar to, like, say, The Hobbit, Alice in Wonderland, Snow White and the Huntsman, it's much better than all of those movies. As
is this written down, are you reading this?
No. No.
You switched tones.
This is prepared.
You're sounding very official now.
This is prepared.
I have opinions. Brett,
have you been taking your ADD meds?
This is what I do.
Going on here,
Vince? No, not at all. I've been out of those for like a year and a half now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Straight Coke now. He's all Coke.
Just
all the
straight.
Time. It's just because he's too lazy to get them refilled.
It's true.
Yeah. He's been moving. He's not weaning off. He's not making a stand against Big Pharma. He's just, I haven't.
Well, first I'd have to go renew my health insurance. Then I'd have to go
to the doctor. Free. You get it from the city of San Francisco. It's free. You just have to show up.
Yeah, they don't give you free ADD pills, believe it or not.
Yeah. They give you free methadone.
Out first.
Those are quite expensive. Out. Yeah, yeah. If I was like a 50-150 and I was just like, I'm too unfocused, then maybe they would give me.
I've got to finish this Photoshop and I can't.
Yeah.
I'm too crazy to do a Photoshop of a cat head on a doctor.
I'm going to become a drain on the system if I don't finish this cat Photoshop.
I have one more slide for this slideshow. Do you know how many pages it's going to be?
Do you guys know anything about B-logging?
Could you please always call that?
I think you should switch your job title to B-logist.
Yeah, I'm in B-logging. So my topic was going to be in honor of Oz the Great and Powerful. Because I found myself, I didn't realize this, but I guess I'm kind of a Sam Raimi apologist. I didn't even realize it.
Did he direct that?
He did, yeah. Oh,
interesting.
And there's some Sam Raimi. I like the way that he does things that are just really kind of goofy, but then... Like you sort of just settle into his goofy aesthetic and you enjoy it afterwards.
So what has he done besides the Evil Deads and the Spider-Mans?
Army of Darkness, which is my favorite.
That's part of the Evil Dead franchise.
The three Evil Dead, Evil Dead movies.
Drag Me to Hell was actually pretty good.
Drag Me to Hell was awesome.
Drag Me to Hell a lot.
Drag Me to Hell is fucking great. I was arguing with someone about that. That movie's awesome. He does all these movies that are just sort of on the border of silly and earnest. And
his last one wasn't very good, though, right? He did something.
Everybody hated Spider-Man 2, but like...
Oh, I love that one. That's my favorite superhero movie.
That whole, like, emo/evil Spider-Man. Like,
oh, you mean 3?
The emo Tobey Maguire. That's, where he had like the emo bangs, but was like the evil guy.
Yeah, that's the
was
third
like
one.
The funniest part of the movie, and so that's was three, so though. Great. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Two was with the octopus, where the arms come alive, and he's talking to them, and that was all. That was all Raimi-ism.
That was so good. But the third one, I know what you're talking about, because in that, in the theater when Tobey Maguire went evil and he pushed Kirsten Dunst down, like the theater just went silent, and then some black dude's like, "Oh shit!" and then everybody laughed really hard.
Those are always your favorite parts of the
movie. Yeah, I remember that one for a while. But yeah, what did he? I can't remember what he did between Drag Me to Hell and this.
There was something bad, right?
I saw Kill Bill in the theaters, and that scene where Vivica A. Fox tries to shoot her through the cereal box, and she kills her, like at the perfect moment. This one, like, ghetto ass dude was like, "Man, that's some badass cereal." It was so perfect.
All right, can we get back to Vince's Sam Raimi apologist?
No, there's no movie. All right, fact check, there's no movie between Drag Me to Hell and Oz.
Huh.
He might have produced something. I don't see it.
So, are there any of the movies that recently, over the last like 10 years that we didn't think of? Spider Man's. Drag Me to Hell.
The Three Evil Deads.
Oz, Drag Me to Hell, Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man The Gift, which was also kind of good, I thought.
Oh, that was, eh.
Is that the one with Katie Holmes where she shows her boobs?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good movie.
The one of Keanu's, like, one of Keanu's only good acting performances where you're like, oh, that guy's kind of a good actor.
Oh, I was thinking
I liked him in Hellblazer, or whatever they called Hellblazer, the movie.
Constantine?
Yeah. I thought he was actually kind of all right.
Never saw that.
I saw Constantine. I actually kind of liked it.
Oh, hey, Alfred, I owe you an apology, comics wise. Speaking of Hellblazer,
really?
Yeah. I re-upped on Saga.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of gotten good. And I don't know if it's just continuity getting its dirty claws into my brain, but I'm kind of involved, and I will continue to buy it. So.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that, because
I believe I referred to it as cute. And it remains cute in that it is sort of like a mashup of shit that's appealing in all the other genres. But I think BKV is doing it well.
Well, apology accepted. I picked up, because I only buy trades, so I'm not like a true comic geek. But
no, that's the right way to do it.
I picked up the first Prophet last
week. Oh, yeah, right?
And that shit's pretty awesome.
I know. It's like Conan in space, and all it's about is eating your enemies.
They might as well be talking about like different types of butt lube right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, my God. Totally. Hey, totally.
Hey, Vince, shut up. I have a genuine recommendation. So, like, if anyone has ever read a comic book, Mike Mignola, who does Hellboy, is probably the master of visual plotting. He is the hands down the best cinematographer in comics, and he hasn't done the actual illustration for a long time, but he's doing like Hellboy in Hell right now, and it is the best like visual layout shit you will ever see.
Hellboy in Hell. All right, I'll check that out. Why not?
Yeah.
To switch gears on that note a little bit, I was talking to someone about Calvin and Hobbes the other day, and I was just like, man.
Watterson, yeah.
That was, like, Bill Watterson. You know, obviously the writing was all really good, but the art was so amazing, too.
He does really good trees.
And he's kind of like a hipster. He's kind of like a hipster really god, because, like, no one else has fully been super popular at something for 10 years and then stepped away and is like, I'm not doing interviews. I'm not licensing anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, like no one knows where he is. He's like...
Although he's... All of those Calvin peeing on things, fully licensed. Those are legit.
No, they're not.
I heard they weren't. I thought, oh, boy, is my face red. You got me. You got me, Ben.
I always wondered the ones where, like, Calvin's praying under the shadow of the cross. And I'm like, so let me get this straight. You got this character who's normally known for pissing on a Chevy logo. Yeah. And you're like, how can I illustrate my Christianity? Oh, I know. I'll get the guy who's pissing on stuff. And he's just humble. He's humble before the sign of Christ.
There's also one who's like pointing up to the cross.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I'm still kind of waiting for the arms race that happened with the Darwin fish, where they've got the Darwin fish and then the fish eating the fish and the fish that's somehow Jesus-y eating the other fish.
Calvin.
I'm waiting for someone to pee on Calvin praying at the cross.
Ooh.
There's a dinosaur eating the Darwin fish, getting eaten by Jesus, getting pissed on by Calvin.
Yeah.
There's a lot of levels.
Whose kid is an honor student?
Yeah.
Or and then there's the little ones too. You know, when there's like a family of eight.
Yeah.
And there's the mom and the dad, then all the little kids.
All the stick figures.
So I was going to ask, all right, so the other things that Sam Raimi has done, Quick and the Dead, which was also...
They shot a hole in Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that was actually another guilty pleasure of mine.
It doesn't happen. There's blood in there.
Dark Man, which is awesome.
What about Dark Mando?
Take a fucking elephant.
What about Dark Mando? His face was changing.
Don't even try and be Russian.
Yeah, don't even try to be Russian around Liam Neeson's.
So in honor of Sam Raimi and Oz and the Great and Powerful, I wanted to ask what you guys thought, because I'm kind of a Sam Raimi apologist. Like, what is the worst movie of a filmmaker that you otherwise enjoy?
Wow.
I wish you would have given this to me before right now on the air.
Sorry.
Because that's actually a good question.
All right, I'll start it out with one.
That's probably the best question you've ever asked.
I'll start it out with one.
This might be the most intelligent discussion we've ever had on this podcast.
Insomnia.
I wish we had prepared.
Insomnia is Christopher Nolan, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't really.
I thought Insomnia was good.
I liked Insomnia. I didn't like the action, kind of was ugly, but I liked the movie other than that.
Okay. Just that pops
I'll out. Give you an easy one, which was Death Proof.
Quentin Tarantino, I was just thinking about that.
By far my least favorite Tarantino.
Yeah.
I also didn't like From Dusk Till Dawn.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that movie. I think it's so like silly, dumb. Silly fun.
I think that was
technically I would say it's dumb, though. but I like it.
That was Rodriguez directed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He wrote it? Did Tarantino write it?
Yeah, I think he wrote it.
Rodriguez directed it, yeah.
It was some sort of project for them together.
Yeah.
But
who's that? Is that Brooklyn or Manhattan?
That's Brooklyn, yo.
Oh, shit. Oh,
Brooklyn
shit.
In the house, yo.
I live half a block from a fire station. It's not really that exciting.
Yeah, that's technically Rodriguez directing Dusk Till Dawn.
Gotcha.
Quentin Tarantino wrote it. Yeah.
Well, I think it's his fault, then. That was a dumb script.
It really was.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yes, you're right. Death Proof is an excellent example, Vince.
I actually hadn't thought of that before now. That wasn't something I prepared. So
this is one that you had prepared.
Oh, Bottle Rocket. Bottle Rocket is
yes, yeah, agreed.
Yes. I never got the love for that. So I was probably similar to a lot of people where I had heard of Bottle Rocket well before any other of Wes Anderson's movies. You know, well, and I was like, all right, cool, check it out. I remember it was VHS. I went to Tower Records and rented a VHS tape. And I watched it and I was like, didn't like it.
Yeah.
And
everybody's like, oh, you got to see Bottle Rocket. It's like the ultimate Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
What they really meant was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they really meant was, be friends with me.
I
got scars for this. For this very moment.
That's a good one. Well, Vince, what else have you been thinking of since?
You've obviously prepared this.
Yeah. Let's see.
You made a list.
No, I didn't make a list. This is just something I thought of off the top of my head. I don't think Paul Thomas Anderson has one. I like pretty much. Oh, no. Yeah, he does. Sorry. Magnolia, another one. Really didn't like Magnolia.
Never saw that.
Magnolia is like a good movie that you added 30 seconds of extraneous camera work at the end of every scene. Also, all the characters are super pathetic in not a very interesting way. It's just like they're kind of lame and sad. And I also think I also hate Requiem for a Dream. Although I don't like all of Aronofsky's movies.
Aronofsky's not a winner. He's just visually competent. He's very good at putting together a scene, but he doesn't really know how to make a script.
The Fountain was not very good either.
I never saw that.
Well, come. I just said I like that.
The Fountain, the one with Hugh Jackman, where they're flying on his face?
Yeah, I was like really high, and that's probably the best way to watch The Fountain. Like really, really high. Where you're like, oh, man, oh, everyone's got cancer. That's so sad. Del Toro and Blade 2.
Yeah, but
that's a good one.
But other than Pan's Labyrinth, Del Toro
what I was
done
say,
good?
I'm not sure he's actually got a track record.
Didn't Del Toro do Hellboy?
Yeah, but Hellboy was garbage.
Yeah, I didn't like Hellboy.
I actually
liked either.
Hellboy.
Really?
Yeah.
Both of them?
Not so much Hellboy 2. That was pretty stupid. The first one was really good, I thought.
Also, was not a big fan of Blade 2 or Mimic.
Oh, Mimic was bad. All right.
Oh, that movie's horrible. Mia Sorvino.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't love all of Fincher's movies, but I like most of them, and I really did not like Benjamin Button at all.
Fair.
I thought that was one of the more boring movies I've ever seen.
I didn't mind it. I don't know. I know that it makes
was okay.
I
would never want to watch it again, but I thought it was a decent movie.
Just trying to think of directors that I'll.
Yeah, I can't even. I'm drawing a blank. I feel like I have nothing to add to this conversation, so I'll just say that I spent a good 90 seconds today.
Let's talk Martin Scorsese. I've got his IMDb page up, and what's standing out to me is I know some people really hated Shutter Island, some people really like it, but is it Kundun?
Kundun, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that should be, like, I don't think anybody even saw that, so that you can't even say that it's a bad movie because, like, nobody cared about that movie at all.
I never saw that one, but I will say on the same lines of Bottle Rocket, Mean Streets was one that, like, everybody will tell you, like, oh, Mean Streets. And I don't know, I found Mean Streets, like, borderline unwatchable.
Agreed.
Like, the fight sequences, are, like, every fight sequence, it has, like, long fight sequences that are all, like, The Godfather, where Sonny's beating that guy up and is like, I don't know, it's just very obviously choreographed and like nothing's, it was just bad. I don't know. I didn't like Mean Streets at all.
Who did Dog Day Afternoon? I remember being very,
that was Sidney, what's his face? No, what the guy that did Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
I like Michael Clayton.
I did like Michael Clayton a lot.
Yeah.
How about Steven Spielberg and Sidney Indiana Lamette. Jones 4? Spielberg, yeah. Not great he's, at directing
since,
movies.
Since I don't have a whole lot to add to this conversation, I'll just interject right here that I spent a good 90 seconds today thinking about how I actually kind of like Mission Impossible 2 and just how horrible that sounds.
Was that the John Woo one?
Yeah, it's the John Woo one. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
Hey, who did 3? It's someone important.
That's Abrams.
Yeah, I really liked 3.
Yeah,
3 had, what's his face? Master.
Yeah.
All right.
Philip.
Hey, what's his name? I forgot. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
All right.
So bad with names.
On the subject of Spielberg, like, what do you think his worst movies are? I have a couple. All right.
I don't know that I've seen.
Hey, anytime Spielberg touches Kubrick, I want him to explode just out of principle because Kubrick is pretty much a god. Hey, what's Kubrick's worst movie?
I was thinking Barry Lyndon.
That would be his last one.
Yeah, Eyes Wide Shut.
No, I liked Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
I liked it.
Yeah, I've started watching that movie like 3 times. I never get past like 40 minutes in.
Well, there's that one scene where he's on his way to the ridiculous elite sex party, and then some Bostonians call him a faggot because of his gloves. And that was like such a weird, like, disjointed scene, and it just kind of like reminds you that the rest of the world's still there while he's going to his bizarre sex party. Like, I just Kubrick's so good at that, like, awkward, like, disjoint, where it suddenly like rips you out of his little narrative world and puts you back into yours, and then pulls you back into his narrative world. Like, Kubrick's really good.
I haven't seen all of Kubrick's. Yeah. I've seen.
Yeah, I'm looking at his IMDb. There's a lot of shit where I'm just like, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I didn't see anything before. I actually haven't seen Lolita, so I haven't seen anything before Dr. Strangelove.
You didn't see Spartacus?
No, I never did.
Yeah, that's good.
Really? Chariots?
I know. But I will say this. All right, for Spielberg, my worst... For worst Spielberg, it's got to be between Indiana Jones 4, The Terminal, which is amazingly horrible. The Lost World's pretty bad. I think those are my main.
Wait, the Jurassic Park one?
I think it's.
Yeah, that's the.
We have to look at the fact that like Spielberg has just been cashing checks for like the last 10 to 15 years.
I mean,
what's the last good movie he directed?
I think he was really trying with Lincoln, and Lincoln was kind of good. Like he, you know, he did his normal Spielberg shit, but it was, you know, it had some good stuff. It was like a solid B.
Minority Report was good, and
yeah, that might be my favorite.
Until he fucked up Philip K. Dick, which made me hate him even more. Philip K. Dick's book does not end with them getting a new baby and everyone getting pulled out of the tanks.
Yeah.
The whole point was that they can't exist outside of their tanks because they just become schizophrenic. And he's got them in sweaters reading books at the last scene. Like he can't let a movie end without everyone hugging and then high-fiving the audience.
Yeah. That's true, but I'll say this about Philip K. Dick, and I'm probably betraying my own Philistinism here, but I've tried to read a number of Philip K. Dick books and I never get past about like 80, 90 pages.
There's a reason that his work is better in film than it is as books.
He's like, just so
you shut your dirty.
He's so misanthropic that it's just like I don't want to be like I feel like I get depressed. Like it's just so like oppressively depressing that I just can't finish it.
Oh God! Shut up!
That's right up Brett's alley.
I mean, so here's the so
same with Don DeLillo.
Scanner Darkly is not a very good movie, and I'm not sure that honestly, A Waking Life is a very good movie either. Which I realize is going to piss like half the pseudo intellectuals off because that was their first introduction to philosophy.
Waking Life was super boring.
Yeah. I remember I was watching it in my San Diego house, and again, kind of high, and I was like, "Wow, that's pretty interesting." And the Sarah, the girl I was with, who's a philosophy major, leans over and makes a fart sound. It's like, "Yeah, dude, they teach us that in the first week of any class you've ever."
You know, it's bad when you got the philosophy major.
This is just your first introduction to what might be thinking.
So much of the internet like intellectual discourse is based on people that haven't had like basic college courses in certain things where they're like,
welcome to 101 majors,
it's so crazy, have you seen What the Bleep Do We Know? And you're like, yeah, I get
it. It's physics. Shit goes up and then it comes back down. Maybe we don't know why it happens. Probably Higgs bosons
or like the shit where they're just like, this is so sexist. I'm like, hey, welcome to fucking gender studies seminar.
They're just learning, but, it, Vince. They're
hey,
just
Philip,
learning
Philip
it.
K. Dick. So anyway, the Scanner Darkly is terrible, but the book is amazing. And I know we've talked about this before, but he does such a good job of getting inside the tweaker's mind and the paranoia that comes with being high and not really sure you're ever going to be sober again.
Yeah, I don't want to be there with you.
Like, oh my God, what if I stay this way? What if this is my new life? And that itself sort of snowballs into you freaking the fuck out because I can't live like this. This can't be my new life.
Yeah, I think that's why I can never finish a book of his, because he puts me in that mindset and I'm like, I don't have any draw to read that book anymore. It's just making me feel fucking depressed.
What's his is it the one before Ubik? He did a trilogy. It's like Ubik, Transmitigation of Timothy Archer, and there's one before, like Isis or Ibis.
I don't know, man. You're on your own on that one.
Anyway, it's the first part of the trilogy, and it's sort of autobiographical, where he might have had a satellite beam a pink laser into his mind and tell him his son had cancer, and then he brought him to the doctor. The doctor's like, that pink laser was right, your son has cancer.
I can see why this appeals to you.
talking about underrated sci-fi, I just you made me think of Strange Days, which I loved.
Yeah, Strange Days.
And good. I didn't even realize that that Catherine Bigelow directed that.
Was that Liam Neeson or Ralph Fiennes?
Ray Fiennes.
You mean that one with the big-ass wolves and Liam Neeson's?
Angela Bassett and Ray Fiennes, and they've got, like, that, like, brain. It was, like, the...
there's a black market for people dying.
Yeah.
Which is totally going to happen.
Wasn't Carl Hungus the guy that, like, implanted the new eyeballs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Constantine, he pulled his cancer out of his lungs.
That guy's everywhere. If you need like a future, if you're in a dystopian future world and you need some sort of body part transplant, Carl Hungus is going to be there.
He's also the cosmonaut in Armageddon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here to fix the internal organs.
I'm here to take out some cancers.
Oh, the anniversary of the Big Lebowski was today.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't go to any sort of Lebowski fest or anything?
No, not this year.
Oh. For those of you that haven't been listening for a while, on one of Vince's birthdays, we went to some sort of was it a Lebowski fest?
It was a Lebowski fest.
Yeah, yeah. Every year for SF Indie Fest, they do a Lebowski party.
So it was a Lebowski party. They were showing Lebowski in one room, so there was a bunch of people watching Lebowski. Then there was a lot of people dressed up in robes. One dude even brought a fully rolled up rug, which was pretty legit.
Yeah.
Brendan, and it turned out a lot of other people were dressed up as the German band.
Yeah, Autobahn.
From the cover of the album Nagelbett.
Yeah, which is on screen for maybe a second, and there was a bunch of people with
that. Yeah, it was not just Brendan, and it was kind of weird. And my favorite was Vince's dad, brought a robe, and he also had a Lebowski t-shirt. Like from
also,
the
he was not actually aware it was a theme party.
And he was also smoking pot inside.
And got kicked out.
Yeah, got kicked out.
Yeah, he had like a, you know, the type of, the joints that look like a finger, like the size of someone's finger.
Blunt. It was a blunt in the classic sense.
Yeah.
So good story about that. So my dad is dressed as the dude with a Big Lebowski t-shirt on.
Yeah, I loved it. Very
and so,
meta.
You know, a bunch of, yeah, so every hipster's, you know, and all of us are like, oh man, that's like so meta. And then like my dad leaves for the weekend and texts me on the way, on the drive home, being like, all right, so what does meta mean exactly? and actually it was hard to, it was a little hard to explain at first. It's not the easiest thing to explain.
Yeah, it's not a one sentence definition. It's a full concept.
Yeah.
Wait, it's not 20 years. It's got to be 15 because.
I didn't say it was 20.
Who said it was 20? Oh, I thought someone said it was 20.
No, it might. Wait, is it?
No, because it came out in the late 90s. So like 97 maybe. So it's got to be 15.
It could be 20.
I can just fact check this right now. It's pretty easy.
No, it would be 1994.
I think it did come out when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, it would be 1994, and I don't think...
98,
yeah. Because I still remember being in high school, and this exchange student from the West Indies was like, you see the Big Lebowski, man. I'll always remember that.
Man?
Huh?
He said man?
Yeah, whatever. Man, I don't know. I didn't. That was like the only time I ever talked to him.
Big Lebowski DVD.
Yeah, his name was Dusty. I don't know whatever happened to Dusty.
You don't got this on the laser disc.
When him Guan go to the tree horn.
Can I?
And then them bally heads say, "Get out to my beach community."
The Jamaican conversation, but please, here I am on this film podcast, and I. I'm sorry, all I've been thinking about for the last, like, 2 months is how there are only two Oscars for, like, Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, but there are four roles in Spring Breakers for women. And how are they going to find all the Oscars to give to Spring Breakers when
that's
it comes out in 2 weeks?
That's a really good question.
They're going to have to give it just to the costume, like, to the bikini makers.
Well, could they do like an ensemble for one spot for all of them?
That's a SAG award, the best ensemble.
They should definitely not get any SAG awards. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I was over there and I pulled out and I'm glad you finished it off.
I'm talking about Perky Tits.
All right. So who's your favorite? Because I have a clear favorite among that group.
Well, there's Selena Gomez. There's
Selena Gomez, Vanessa Hudgens, Rachel Corrine, and Ashley Benson.
You're supposed to say Selena Gomez, and like Rachel Corrine's supposed to be the fourth one. You're just to be like,
okay,
and
sorry.
The other one, because yeah. That's who she is.
Yeah. Well, it's the director's wife.
Yeah, that's how she got the role. I'm kind of a Selena Gomez man.
I think Vanessa Hudgens is better looking.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Vanessa myself.
I'm
not going to kick Vanessa out of bed. I mean, I saw those naked pictures that got leaked online.
Look, I'm a man with sophisticated taste, and I go Ashley Benson because her boobs are the biggest.
Oh.
Vince has, like, the big boobies.
Vince with the size play.
See, I'm a fan of the Latina. So if your last name ends in a Z, and not the – I'm talking Gomez, not the Horowitz type, then I'm all about it.
How dare you?
Meanwhile, I kind of enjoy the Horowitz because
I
like the big boobs
as well. Don't get me wrong.
Why do Jewesses always have great boobs?
I don't know. I think it's part of like the mating ritual.
They generally like showing them too.
I'm not really clued into that world. Maybe Ben can tell us.
Based on my high school experience, at least
they like to show the cleave.
Yeah. Anytime you heard a good story about a girl, it was always like it wasn't like you know. I don't know.
Oh, Shoshana had them boobs out.
Yeah. It was always like, Shoshana Cohen, you should have seen her this weekend. It wasn't like, yeah, you know, it wasn't like you should have seen, you know, Adriana Gomez. You know, it was always like Abby Weinstein had her Hooters out this weekend, man. You should have seen it.
That was every weekend in high school.
Yeah,
for you,
pretty
right?
much. That's, man, I'm just going on my high school experience.
I'm so sad that I'd never met a Jew until college. I was so deprived.
Well, they don't allow them in Fresno.
Yeah, well, they don't allow themselves to be caught in Fresno.
Yeah, it's not that they're not allowed in Fresno. It's that they have too much money to live in Fresno.
Oh, we were dying to have them. We were like, please, please come
to
Fresno.
What can we do?
Yeah.
What can we do to attract more?
We'll give you so many almonds.
Look, we made lots. Please come. We dried them in the sun next to the raisins.
We cut holes in all of our bread. Is that good? Is that what you like? That's not what you want, no? Mm. We made circular bread. That's what we were told. You like that. We put chocolate. We wrapped it in tinfoil.
Pen.
Wow. What were we talking about? The Spring Breakers.
And like, the fact is, like, I'm so excited about, like, it's so easy to take this route of I'm just really excited to masturbate in the theater. But with the fact of it, you've also got, like, James Franco with a full grill. And Gucci Mane is in the movie. Like, I'm just really excited. I actually a friend forwarded me his supposedly non-transferable invite to a press screening. And even though it's non-transferable, I'm like really tempted to like go for it. Just be like, please get me in.
Oh, you can get in with those. They don't care. Yeah, it's weird because I know I'm not going to see any of like none of those girls are going to get naked. It's just. There's something very compelling about the whole thing. I don't know what it is.
By the way, I like how Gucci
Girls
Mane,
in bikini robbing banks.
I like how Gucci Mane announced that he was retiring the Gucci Mane name on Twitter, and then like 2 hours later, he's like, "Oh, y'all, I changed my mind. I ain't gonna do it.
I had a change of heart, y'all." What was he gonna be?
It was like Goo Wop or something like that.
That is real name.
Yeah, that's some weird.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. I mean, he got a tattoo of an ice cream cone on his face if you need any evidence to support that thesis.
To be fair, who doesn't want that?
Well, and his reasoning was he didn't have any other room. He was just completely covered in ink. So he got an ice cream cone on his face that said, brr.
Are you sure it's not like an upside-down teardrop? Like he's so hardcore, he kills people in reverse?
No, because that's kind of his catchphrase. You know, Gucci Mane does like the brrr.
I am unfamiliar with this work.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He's too busy reading comments,
Just
Brendan.
Take my word for it. It's definitely an ice cream cone. There's no wiggle room.
It's not in a Phil K. Dick book.
Yes, this is...
I am excited as for...
Look up... You guys are both on your laptops. If you need some background, look up Gucci Mane face tattoo and... All questions will be answered.
On the Spring Breakers note, I hadn't seen these before, but Joe King / Synclitico pulled up some of Harmony Korine's old appearances on Dave Letterman. And I don't know if you've ever seen those, but it's so insane. And it reminds you of the days when David Letterman was like one of the most relevant people in pop culture and comedy.
Was this after Kids?
Like kind of subversive.
Yeah, very subversive. Because like Harmony Korine goes on there, and you can't tell if he's being serious or not, and he's just sort of keeping up this extended, just total weirdness shtick. Like at one point, he tells Dave Letterman that he's writing a novel. He's like, "I'm writing a novel about a race war, and all the Jews live in trees." And the white
don't
white,
they already?
And the white people are led by Vanilla Ice, and the black people are led by MC Hammer.
So this is circa 1991.
No, it was like late 90s.
That. Oh, really? That's a good movie.
Yeah, so would I. And it's like you can't tell if he's being serious or not because he's delivering it all pretty deadpan.
That'd be great. It's like these leaves are giving me a rash.
Can we also talk about how stupid the name is Harmony is for a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, who is Harmony Korine? You said that name. I was like, she sounds hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I get it. Your parents were hippies.
Yeah.
Who's the hotter chick, Ashley Burns or Harmony Korine?
that's a serious.
Well, I think I've told this story before,
Ashley
though.
Burns is a stripper name.
But yeah. Burnsy wrote on my wall on Facebook, and my girlfriend's like, who's Ashley Burns?
Yeah, it's good people think we have a girl writer for Film Drunk. although we actually do it now, but
brings in a much larger demo, right?
Oh yeah, for
sure. So many more clicks.
Yeah,
you're getting clicks you didn't have before.
It's all about the clicks. On that note, I was in the Mac store today trying to get my laptop fixed, and from behind me, while the guys
for being too old,
yeah, pretty much. And from behind me, I hear it's the Marina Apple Store, so that is another level. And there's this woman behind me, and she's like, "Pilot, come on, let's go."
Pilot, oh, he's going to crucify Jesus.
It's a girl.
She's going to crucify Jesus.
Yeah.
Some celebrity has a child named Pilot.
I think it's like, Jason Lee.
Yeah.
His name's Pilot Jason Inspector. And with a K, like it's Inspector with a K.
Yeah. Oh,
I thought Pilot was their dog or something.
It'd be cool if it was like Inspector Deck or something like that.
Inspector.
Yeah, Inspector
Deck. Yeah, it's with an A.
Yeah.
There's other celebrities
you
that
can name your entire brood of children after members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, yeah, as long as you have enough
serious street cred,
and you can just have
if you have too many, you just give
different Old Dirty Bastard.
Right? Yeah, you can give variations on Old Dirty Bastard.
Hey, nothing after the W counts. All right, it ends with Cappadonna. That is the last legitimate member of the clan.
Well, okay, sure. Fair enough. You're extending it out pretty far then.
You could justify it, say it's Wu-Tang Annex, and you know, everyone's included.
I feel that I'm a pretty legit member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
I've been saying that for years, and not everyone has agreed with me.
Thank you.
This is Inspector Deck, like, the accountant.
Part of New York is
Staten Island.
Staten Island, yeah. Well, I guess you're close enough. You're closer than we are.
I drive over the Verrazano Bridge and go through Staten Island like at least four times a year.
Well, there you go.
The Forgotten Borough.
Basically an honorary member at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, you've been interviewing some celebrities in the sports world. Who's been fun? Who's been the best, most fun person you interviewed recently?
I'm going to make Vince crazy jealous. The best person I've interviewed in the last couple months is Gina Carano.
Nice.
She is like the sweetest, most down to earth person. Like, it was just like talking to a perfectly like down to earth person. She is like gorgeous and of course like fit and all these things, but she has like she's like self-conscious about things as well. Like, I didn't realize that she has a small little birthmark on her eye, or just to the side of her left eye, and I thought that it was from sparring, and I pointed it out. This didn't make the interview, but I pointed it out, and she was like, oh, it's a birthmark. No, I'm super self-conscious, and she was devastated that I noticed a birthmark on her face, and like was like totally self-conscious, and it's like, I have like fantasies about you, so don't be self-conscious.
Apparently her family's like really rich and owns half of Reno.
Oh,
like they have a winery or something.
Wow. I had no idea.
I was talking to someone from Reno about the Carano fam the other day.
But I definitely like the other members of like the crew who shot and edited it were like, oh, you know, I always thought of her as a fighter, as a kind of beefy woman, but she's like hot in person. And I was like, man, she's hot not in person. She's hotter in person.
Is she still fighting?
No. Nah,
well, she won't say that she's officially retired. I think if they throw enough money at her, she'll come out. But she's focused on her acting now.
I'm sure they've offered her quite a bit of money, and she hasn't budged. And dude, she went so far as to pull out of her last fight.
She is beautiful.
Agreed. And she pulled out of her last fight without giving any explanation. They just said, oh, it was medical issues. And she still has not revealed what they were. So I don't think she wants to fight. And that's fine. But, yeah.
So, Matt, then who was the least fun or the opposite end of the spectrum for you to interview?
I don't know. At the Super Bowl, I got like a minute with Cam Newton, and that dude had like that was fucking annoying.
I could see that guy with an entourage of over 1,000.
He had an entourage of like more than I think at least 9, maybe 10 or 11 people around him, and I got like all of like what. There are like 3 questions, and one of them has to be about his Under Armour shoes. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? That was annoying. I will say I interviewed Von Miller of the Broncos this week.
I was going to ask you about that. I didn't get a chance to listen yet, and I was very excited to.
He's an interesting guy. He's a cool dude. He's got like a good sense of individualism, but like I feel like I did a bad job. Like I feel like I didn't do a good job of like. Of getting quality stuff out of him, like he, his answers tended to be like a little bit longer than you might like for a podcast.
Yeah.
And
some people, they don't know they're doing it and they just sort of monologue and you're like, okay.
Yeah. He just like went on. I couldn't really like cut in with like anything funny or and so I was a little bit disappointed in my own performance with that. Like I thought he was a good guest, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I had John Elway on the show like a month or two ago, and like John Elway, like for the stuff like asking about like the upcoming draft and stuff like that, he didn't give me anything to work with because that's his fucking job. You know, like, you know, of course he's not going to give me a clue as to like who he's looking at, what positions he's looking at, because that's not beneficial to his team. That's his job, and I understand that. So I understand like that I was going to get stonewalled in that. But I got like him to open up on other things, and that was fun. So when I don't get like good stuff out of someone, I feel like I'm disappointed in myself.
So with apologies to anyone who's actually listened to the podcast, did Von Miller not give you much when you were asking about like hipster stuff? And
it's not that like I teased him about I asked about squatting and he was like, I don't do like one rep maxes. I'm just doing like, you know, sets of 8 to 10 at 315. And I was like, well, yeah, you can't get your thighs can't get too big because you got the skinny jeans. You know, you can't outgrow those. and so I poked some fun at him. I talked to him about like Spencer Hall's theory that like everyone in Brooklyn is with the chunky glasses and like raising their own food is basically just trying to be a man from Texas in the 1950s.
Right.
So there were some high points. Yes. We got some. He talked about poultry science and chicken farming. Like he's passionate about that.
That is excellent.
He went into depth about that. Like he is like a Texas A&M Aggie.
Yeah. So going to A&M was not just a football decision for him.
Well, that's the thing is like he took like this poultry science class as a joke. He's like, oh, easy A, whatever. And like the professor like prodded him into like taking it seriously, and he took
how
it, like,
can
so
I reach these
he got, like,
kids?
A poultry science minor and is like raises chickens like in his like Texas home now.
But that's so hipstery. He raises his own chickens.
Yeah, he said he has 18 hens and 2 roosters.
Well, I'm just consistently impressed by his level of hipsterism.
What does he play? I don't even know who this guy is.
He's the Broncos all-pro linebacker.
He's okay. Really fucking good, first of all. But you know, he wears like the big thick frame glasses. He even wears kind of some 80s. They look like something you'd see on a baseball card from like 1986. These glasses he wears, and he dresses very hipstery and everything. And he even busts out like super retro dances, like. That sack dance he did where he was kind of windmilling his arms. I mean, it's like something that you'd see Mark Gastineau do in 1984.
Yeah. And that's what I was surprised for that he was giving me kind of like stock answers, like filled with the football cliches, because like he has a very clear sense of individualism, and I was expecting him to be a little bit lighter on his toes, so to speak. And, definitely didn't quite get that out of
me. I don't know, man. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I would think a lot of these guys, that's just sort of how they sort of must have some sort of wall up a lot of the time, and maybe they get comfortable and talk normally, but a lot of times just like basically stock answers just to get them out, right?
Well, there's that. All right. So there's that aspect, and then there's also the sort of athlete, like certain athletes are the male equivalent of hot chicks where they've never spent any time where someone else is not asking them questions. Like they're sort of just used to getting asked out. They're not used to having to do the asking a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
there's also the thing Vince likes to tell the story about in college, hanging out with all of us and we're all on a friendly level. And so all my friends that I played football with were cool with Vince and that whole group of people. And we would all hang out together and, well, you can tell the story if you want. You probably tell it better than me. But just asking one of my buddies about football and like And he immediately goes from being friendly to being like, well, yeah, you know, we're out there and we're working hard. Yeah. We're trying to get everyone.
It was Adam Hall. And I don't know. I hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks or something. And I was just like, I knew he had an ankle sprain or something. And I was just like, you know, making small talk. I was like, oh, man, hey, how's the ankle? Whatever. And he's like, oh, you know, well, we're just taking it day by day. I'm trying to go one day at a time, trying to get healthy, just trying to get healthy, get back so I can help the team, you know, because that's what it's all about, just trying to help the team. Like, he sort of just completely he just snapped right into media training mode. And I was like, whoa, okay, hey, man, I was just making small talk.
You know, it's feeling better every day. And, you know, when the doctors tell me I can play, I'm going to play. Yeah. And, you know, if it was up to me, I'd be out there no matter what.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hurt the team. I want to help the team. And, you know, if they're going to go with what's best. And, you know, it's out of my control.
Exactly. You know who the best person I've talked to is? Nick Bangold, the center for the Jets. That dude is a cool, cool guy. Like, he is actually a real person who understands jokes and, like, has, like, and like, understands the use of irony. Like, if I could get that guy on my podcast, I would absolutely do it again. Like, that guy... So cool. And it's like, again, like, anytime you get the feeling that you're talking to a real person and not some, like, pre-programmed, like, humanoid who is like here to talk about sports in a very bland way, like, you're like, oh, you actually have interests that I like this. Let's talk about Nirvana versus Metallica. Well, like, he was actually, like, eager to talk about that.
I mean, the reality of a lot of celebrities, whether it's musicians or actors and TV or film or athletes, I mean, a lot of them aren't necessarily the most interesting humans. They're just really, really, really good at whatever they do. So they might not always be the best interview of all time.
Well, that and, you know, at a certain level of, depending on what your trade is, like, certain people, their entire goal is to not give you anything to write about, because, you know, the minute they say something interesting, someone twists it and they get, you know, they get crap from their publicist. Yeah,
it's better, like, to keep a wall up and give the robot answer.
Yeah, it's better to, like, if you're already famous for playing football, there's really don't really have that much incentive to be interesting. I mean, I think you do, but
I agree.
Well, the thing is, but, like, now there's this whole thing we bloggers / tastemakers, if you will, we clearly favor people who speak openly and honestly, like Jennifer Lawrence, like Mila Kunis. Like, if we take it over to the athlete world, I just talked about Nick Mangold being open. Stevie Johnson of the Buffalo Bills is a guy who's got his own sense of style, like, you know, like, isn't afraid to, like, speak his mind.
Well,
and
even someone like Chad Johnson Ochocinco kind of went off the rails a little, but I mean,
until he punched his wife. Or
It was a headbutt, to be fair.
It was a headbutt. It was not a punch.
But, I mean,
until that fell apart, like, someone like that is refreshing. Like, go ahead and, like you can use profanity. You can, like, say things.
What's Coach of the Dolphins? Coach Philbin.
Joe Philbin. Yeah.
Boring dad.
Well, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, do you have to use so much profanity when you're trying to get the point across. Hey, listen, I've thrown out a few L bombs myself in my day, you know. But I might be a little crazier than most guys. Listen, I'm just saying that. Try to maybe think about how that might come across to someone who's reading a paper or watching the TV. You know what I'm saying? Can you feel me? Can I get
frighteningly on point?
Can I get a fist bang? Fist bang.
I've always enjoyed.
Did I say that right?
I've always enjoyed Brian Wilson too. He always cracks me up.
I don't know. Brian Wilson could go either way for me, where he's like cool, but he's kind of obnoxious.
He's
where
like the Uber bro.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of like the kid who like the coolest kid at Christian camp where. He doesn't drink or anything. He's just got all these different little shtick, like all these different little eccentricities that he's picked up.
We're also partial to him for his athletic exploits.
Yeah. The type of person that Ufford you were describing, I think we, as Bret Easton Ellis would call that, that's post-Empire, post-Empire thinking. Yeah.
Brett, are you still here?
Oh, I'm here.
What's up, man?
I love sports.
Sprots.
Sprots.
Hot sports takes.
I like anytime Ufford tweets something that's not sports related, every once in a while I'll just hit him with a stick to sports. it's my way of supporting him back.
Just keep him honest.
Yeah, keep him honest.
Yeah, that's a fun thing at SB Nation. We've got a pretty we try to be like ahead of the curve in like it's kind of like almost like internet kung fu, like anticipate the people who say stick to sports and what do you say to that before they even have a chance to say that.
Yeah.
And the stick to sports, you call this journalism, how is this news? Like all the things that are said on every single like shitty internet post.
Yeah, yeah. How is this news? How is this movie related? Yeah.
I also like the people who act like it's a privilege that they follow you, or it's like, yeah. Well, I liked you, but now that you said this, you are unfollowed. And it's like, yeah. Okay, I had no idea you even followed me in the first place.
I'm going to be dead honest with you. I didn't know you existed on the planet.
Or you just make an observation that's not even meant to be funny, and someone's like, yeah, I guess they can't all be winners, huh, bro? And you're like, all right, thanks, buddy.
Or somebody, even like tweeting something semi-serious, and someone's just like, that wasn't funny, try harder next time. It's like, all right.
I also appreciate the super long email that's offended about the humor in your posts. That like they have like stumbled across your site for the very first time, and like it's not funny when like my mom died of cancer, blah blah blah.
I like when people take ownership, like they're the first person who's ever had a relative who had cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. I've sent like the response email is practically it's like a stock email at this point. It's just like, hey, like there's a spectrum of what people find funny, and you know, like there's a line where funny becomes offensive.
And you just happen to be over at the cunt end.
And it's different for everybody, you know. And you happen to find this offensive, other people found it funny. Like for me personally, I respond to things that are troubling to me with humor, because if I can't laugh about it, I don't know how to react. Like, I don't know how to respond to things except to tell jokes. That's how I deal with, like, things that are sad or upsetting. Yeah. So I'm sorry that that's not how you're built, but...
Look, we're all different, and me and the other non-cunts, we think of certain a different way about...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
So please, like, go back to yahoo.com and and enjoy whatever posts are there.
I'm a big
fan
of... Have
you guys ever spent a day trolling Yahoo Answers? It's the most rewarding day you can spend on the internet.
What things did you answer?
I think my wife might be ?
You posed the question/statement.
Oh, because who knows?
Well, the famous Yahoo Answers is the question: how is Babby formed?
Or why are there school? Is there point to it?
Yeah.
So, Brett, Brett, are you posing the questions or are you answering?
No, we're answering. We did this for – we did this for work one day. Like instead of doing work, like a whole day, we just spent answering questions and then responding to our questions on Skype. And my God, it's not just people asking questions that are dumb, but – the people that respond with maybe you should just beat your wife get like 400,000 stars on that fucking thing.
Yeah, but it could just be dickheads like us where we were like, oh, well, that's a terrible answer.
Double troll.
Yeah.
My other favorite outrage technique is stating how many children you have. As if that suddenly gives you A, some moral high ground, and B, puts you in this exclusive club. And I think I actually said this. I think I was talking to you, Matt, and I was like, you're in this exclusive club of literally billions of fucking people. Literally billions of fucking people are in this exclusive club that also have children. How morally chaste of you to have children. What a good person that makes you.
I thought you meant you were using it as a troll tactic where they would ask, I think my wife is ? And you would respond, 415 children.
No, it's the outrage technique of like, yeah, how dare you say this? I have kids. They might see this. Or my personal favorite, how am I supposed to tell my kids? Which is just, I don't I don't want to be close-minded, but I've yet to hear an argument that starts with how am I supposed to tell my kids that is then followed by something that actually fucking makes sense. It's always just like a complete shit. I mean, Louis C.K. obviously said it way better than I did, but like the whole how am I supposed to tell my kids that gay people can get married? And he's like, I don't know. You tell your fucking ugly kid that gay people are getting married. It's not my problem.
Yeah.
Which is just so brilliant. But
it's the same thing with the Kuvenjani. Is it Kuvenjani or Kuvenjani? I don't know. But
I don't, what are you talking about?
What the fuck
about?
Are you talking about?
The Beast of the Southern Wild kid that the Onion said was a cunt. And everybody's like, oh, what if she sees that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, first of all, she wasn't going to see it until you guys made a big deal about it. Second of all, it's really not that hard to explain if you have half a brain. It's a pretty simple joke structure.
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is it's usually projecting where it's, I don't like what you're saying. But what I'm going to, I'm upset, but I'm going to say is, what if my kid saw that?
Yeah. Well, that's everybody's, the worst part of outrage is like most of the outrage comes from people being outraged on behalf of someone else. It's the same as the assistant thing. It's like you rarely offend the actual person. It's usually you offend their assistant who's offended on their behalf.
I get offended by how dumb people are, and I don't know what to feel offended about then.
Yeah.
Because it's just so many layers.
And it was I hold the Onion on a very high level. I'm so reverent of them. And to see the apology, it made a little piece of me die inside.
I wish if they were going to apologize for that, I wish that they had done it as like a correction. Like, correction, yeah. Like 9-year-old actress so-and-so is not a cunt.
Right,
regret
right.
The air.
No, I'm with you. And
like, that's how they should have done it.
And what's funny is it wasn't even so much of like, I actually read the joke in real time and I was like, I didn't think it was very funny. It just, I don't know. It didn't make me laugh. So I didn't think it was all that funny.
I get it.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't think it was very funny. So I guess I'm not defending the humor.
It's just the part that people don't understand the joke structure, which is very transparent.
It's a bad joke. I mean, like, even I understand what they were going for, but like, it just doesn't work. Like, calling an adorable 9-year-old a cunt just doesn't, maybe it works with like your two best friends, but like, it doesn't have like it does. It straight up doesn't work.
Well, yeah, it was whatever.
Yeah. So the apology I just felt like made it so much worse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it just didn't. I don't know. It so part of me died because
that's part of the problem is like that you can just get railroaded by outrage now. Like Gina Davis had to come out and publicly condemn Seth MacFarlane because she works with like some sort of, you know, anti-sexist group or something.
Anti-human.
And now because people have made it a feminist issue, they're looking at her like, oh, are you going to say something?
Yeah, well, the same thing happened with Lena Dunham where the chick from The Roast, what's her name?
Lisa Lampanelli.
Lisa Lampanelli said like, my nigga,
yeah.
Lena Dunham or whatever. And she just didn't say anything. And all these people were like, her silence speaks volumes. And it's like, I would have done the same thing if it was Lena Dunham. It was like, I didn't write it. It was a fucking picture of me that someone else wrote. Like, leave me out of this, you know? And she got dragged into it because people. But I have a hard time believing that anyone who proclaimed to be outraged by that whole thing was truly outraged. And I'm being generous in saying this. It's obviously I can just create this bully platform for like yelling and making my own.
It's like, oh, everything has to be a teaching moment now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and people think they're being so good by like, oh, well, this needs to be a teaching moment. When really it's just like that has sort of subverted having any empathy for people who say things.
You guys are still talking about it like it's people being outraged. There's an entire industry built around that shit now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah.
It's not even people saying, oh, this is offensive, and I take – you're still talking about like someone out there has taken outrage. It's not that fucking shit anymore. People are like, oh, you know it's getting traction? This. What do we have on it? Nothing. What can we manufacture on it? So-and-so said something. All right, fine. That's good enough. Run with it.
Yeah.
The cogs are already turning. There's no person involved anymore that actually gets offended. The newspapers have their own minds now, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
That's like Gawker. That's Gawker Media essentially in a nutshell. Is blank blank plus blank equals racist is all of their news stuff. And racist can be replaced by anything like sexist or Obama.
And anti-retard.
you pick something that
– You don't want to be anti-retard.
Would you say anti-retard? Anti-retard?
Yeah.
Anti-retarded?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to –
it's retardophobic.
I'm excited to get my wife pregnant and have a kid just so I can go on Facebook and like post pictures of my baby and be like, look at this stupid baby. It's so ugly.
I would totally like that so quickly.
And I just want to like troll the shit out of my own like my own. And people are like, when you have a baby, it'll be different. You'll understand. I'm like, no way, man. Baby can't read. I'm gonna make fun of it.
Yeah, here's my baby with spaghetti on his head. I put it there.
Look at this stupid asshole. He can't even use a toilet.
I know this fucking stupid baby has
my kid shit his pants again.
He's already bald.
I'm just gonna straight up make fun of my baby for like a solid 3 months. Like I'm just gonna be like, it's stupid fucking baby. Not even that cute.
Guys,
I barely
guys,
love
look
it.
Look at this upside down baby.
Upside down. Look at this baby in the dishwasher. What a stupid baby. Why would it be in there?
It's just a bunch of pictures.
Totally
like,
not because I put it there.
It's like baby planking where you just put it them on different stuff.
Right, because you can.
Idiot child. This is stupid.
Put them on your knife magnet.
Yeah. Ever.
So bad at so bad.
Never Harlem shake a baby.
Babies don't understand magnets. They can't get down from knife magnets.
Harlem shaken baby syndrome.
Man, if you ever want to incite an internet mob, just say anything about parenting. I swear, anybody who writes a parenting article or says a goddamn thing about parenting, just immediately like lynch mob.
Well, once again, goes back to the narcissism of it in our culture, I think, which is like, hey, I'm pretty sure there's a billion other people in this world who are just like, I don't care. I don't. We're going through the same thing as you. It's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah. What are you looking at me like that for?
Nothing.
Yeah, that was an awkward silence.
I was waiting for you to say something funny.
Me guan shake me baby.
Yeah, we all ran out of things to say at the same time.
Boom, boom.
We don't forget what the brain said to the mouth.
Never gets old.
Nope. All right.
Can I go to bed?
Yeah, should we?
Wait, you guys are. It's only 11:30 over there.
Frat wrap.
Yeah, it's 11:30 here. I got some work. We're closing in on 90 minutes. I mean, if y'all want to talk more, I'll talk more. But we're not that interesting.
Do you have more podcasting to do tomorrow?
I podcast on Tuesdays and you guys, if you only have one podcast, you're clearly not podcasting enough. I've got two podcasts a week.
They're two different ones
all the time.
My cat's drinking my beer.
that's good to know.
Don't forget to give him a pickle juice back.
It's not good for them.
Cats do what they want.
Oh my gosh! Listen, this is this has nothing to do with anything at all. But because I know nobody else watches The Bachelor,
I've watched a couple episodes.
My wife and I watched Monday's episode tonight, and it was like the women tell all. Nobody cares about that. What killed me was like the final, like after they close the show and they go to the credits, what rolled was like a clip of a couple like bachelorettes like playing with a Rottweiler. They're like, oh, is this – I think this is the producer's dog. And they were petting this like really sweet Rottweiler. And then it was a photo montage of this Rottweiler, like throughout the years, like puppy to like old dog with gray muzzle. And then it closed with like Magic. That was the name of the dog, 2004 to 2013.
Oh man!
And I just sobbed like a bitch. I was like, I had just finished watching The Bachelor, and they give you this, and I've got a Rottweiler mix here sleeping next to me as I talk to you guys now. And, like, it was only 9 years old. That dog was only 9 years old. My dog is, like, six and a half already. And I was just like, oh, God, she's going to die.
It takes The Bachelor to remind us all of our own mortality at times.
Or, no, our dog's mortality.
Our dog fatality, yeah.
That's what it takes.
I definitely had a mini freak out about that the other day. I'm like, we don't have that much longer with this guy. My dog's won. We don't have that much longer.
I just think about not having Stella in my life, and I'll be walking on the street and like be close to tears just like thinking about my dog not being around. I'm actually close to tears right now just thinking about it.
This is not this is not a very sensitive conversation for me, you guys. I just have to tell you that.
Sorry, Vince.
Yeah.
Vince lost his dog in a child custody battle.
Yeah.
But no.
He went on to the judge cooking show. The cooking judge show like that he's always wanted to.
Yeah, we tried to sort of paint a line on him for one of us could get one half of the
did
dog.
Did you go vertical? Like
You don't want the butt half.
Did you go head to tail or did you go down the middle and go head half and butt?
Well,
half?
We settled on the middle. I mean, I wanted the head half. You know, so I wouldn't have to clean up the poop, but no, it was we went head to tail.
Oh, that's devastating. I'm sorry to hear about you and
Well, we don't need to make this a podcast topic.
I'm sorry.
I'm sad that Vince, that you and Matt and I won't have text message threads anymore of just our dogs dressed up and shit.
Yeah.
Because that was fun.
That was a really good text message thread.
That was a good thread. Matt, we can keep it alive.
Well, I've built up a picture backlog.
Okay.
So, all
right.
Yeah. We had a lot of costumes.
That's sad. sad way this got crazy depressing at the end of the podcast.
Hey. You brought up The Bachelor, and they dressed up the dog and made the dog have sex with the girls, and then the dog died. Like, got crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But every once in a while,
the dog was secretly a millionaire.
Oh, have you seen that the trailer for a talking? It's the movie's just called A Talking Cat? !
Oh God, that's a thing.
Yeah. The guy who directed is apparently like a gay porn director, and like they've shown side by sides of the set with like it used to be like a porn set. Yeah.
Why does it good only times. Have? I feel like if you're gonna do the ! You have to make it symmetrical. So it's like ! !
True.
You have to do three. Yeah. Right? Do you feel that way as a blogger?
Yeah, I go back and forth between two and three. I can't decide.
I feel like two is kind of maybe you didn't try hard enough on that.
Or sometimes I just want to do multiple ! Instead of the !
Just to emphasize the
questioning of it without shouting.
One of the biggest dilemmas you face every day.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
I'll tell you another thing about punctuation. This is
I don't, do go I don't on like in great detail.
I don't like to put the period inside the quote when the quote is only tucking in a single word.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I disagree
I
with
like
it.
The quote
I don't
that
support
grammar
it.
Rule is about someone saying a sentence.
Yeah,
and when they're done with the sentence, that's the end of the sentence. If I'm just quoting a fucking word, the period goes on the outside.
I know. And then what if
but
I want to?
So weird on the period looks so weird on the outside of the quote.
But yeah, but
like if it only belongs on the inside if it's the end of their spoken sentence.
I think it looks weirder on the inside of the quote if it's the end of the.
But sentence. Also, what if I want to quote someone's question in the middle of my declarative sentence? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Oh yeah, no. It's only a period if it's the end of the sentence that you're writing.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen. I wanna
this is riveting.
On a happier note, and so I want to talk about. I tweeted this earlier, but I feel like this is worth talking about to the Frogcast crew. I entered the subway station today at like 5 p.m. rush hour, 5:30, and this fat woman, like she was like legitimately fat, like not old or like not, and she had a can of Pringles in her lap. And she was licking the flavor dust off of a Pringle. It was a sour cream and onion or sour cream and chive, whatever they got. And she was just licking the flavoring off the Pringle in the subway station. And it was like the single saddest thing I've seen in a long time. But it was like hilariously sad, like a Louis episode.
Did she then eat the chip, or did the chip go in the trash?
I don't know. I was walking past, but like, I don't know if it was like that was her foreplay with the chip before eating it, or if it was like I can't hand like, or if it was like her being a fat woman, be like, I'm not going to eat the chip, but I'm going to lick the flavor off of it.
It's a diet. So
either, really, either way, it's still super sad.
It always that reminds me of one of my favorite gluttony stories. Where I don't remember what movie it was, but I was at the movie theater. And sat down, woman sat next to me, a large Mexican or Latina woman, and she had a cup, basically, and the little cups that they'll give you for water. It was filled with the butter that you can get. You know, now it's a self-serve butter. So she had the popcorn and then basically a, you know, it wasn't a full pint glass, but it was like, you know, probably 6 ounces.
Dixie cup
filled with butter, and she was individually dipping each popcorn kernel in the liquid butter. Yeah, it was awesome.
If you want uniform butter coverage, you got to go Dixie cup.
Yeah, well, if you really want full, you know, you do, just like a drizzling is not going to do it. You want a dipping.
Oh, it's like mashed potatoes. You want it to be at least half butter
or gravy or whatever. Yeah. You can't it's better if it's every single bite has it on it.
Yeah. Brendan, you want to take us on out of this mother?
Yeah. Brett, thanks for joining us via Skype.
Shut up.
Well, fair enough. And then Mr. Matt Ufford, thank you for joining us. Anything you want to plug at this point? Pump?
My Twitter is at Matt Ufford. Please go to espnation.com. Check out our videos online. That's all I got.
Excellent. All right. Well, good podcast, everybody. Well done.
Good pod. Good pod.
Good pod. Good pod.
Good podding. Good frotting.
Cool. So send us emails, frotcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030. Come on, just bring those voicemails. Just get them in there. Just get them right in there, and I will listen to them.
Oh, excellent. Hey, wait.
What?
Ben thinks I should have a segment, and I mildly agree, despite the fact that it disgusts me. So I'm willing to take suggestions.
But, yeah, give Brett suggestions on segments.
Well, my point was more it'll be difficult logistically, both with the time difference and the Skyping, to have Brett on every episode for the entire
He's edging me out, and I'd like to go out.
Brett, no one likes you.
I have an idea. I have an idea. How about Brett's big disappointment? And it's just a list of people and or things that let you down this week.
Yeah, like Festivus. Like the Festivus airing of grievances.
That's not bad, too. The idea I had was, so he's in New York, an area that hopefully I haven't ruined yet. So what hasn't been ruined yet? So it's like things he gets to enjoy
right
before I...
Before you get to them.
Yeah, before I get to them and put my big, Jewy stink on them.
It's a musk. It's a musk of disappointment.
Because I make it...
You put your side locks of disappointment on them.
Once I get to it, it's reached the masses, and that's when Brett can no longer enjoy it. Well, I thought it would be something where he doesn't have to do it every week, but... Something where, you know, he could bring something different than just coming on.
Yeah, so keep that in your satchels, Fraud fans. And, tell us about it. Brendan?
All right. Well, thanks for listening this week. Matt, thank you once again.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And until next week, good night and good chins.